Take your Bibles, you're going to be in John 14:6. I hope you guys have been enjoying this. And I guess I'm going to brag on you as a church, might as well. It's got all the churches I've been in have been really good. And the thing when I'm doing a sermon series or anything, I ask the question, God, where's our church at and what do they need? And so that says a lot about you all. You're not going to be the big head. You're not perfect. We're all sinners. We're all struggling. But the fact that we can do a series on your favorite verses, I think that's cool. I think it just kind of makes it a little bit more special. I get some flack on this, but we didn't name the Ricks different Ricks to put them down, okay? So it just don't identify the different Ricks. There's no way we're going to touch the three Jans because we don't want any ladies to get upset. We have three Jans in the church, too, and two Debbies, and anyway, we won't get into all that. So there's only one Russell, aren't you glad? Anyway, so this is the sermon today is regular Rick, and John 14:6, and I love this verse. I quote it about every week, and if there was a verse you need to memorize, you need to know this verse. I'm just going to come out and say it. You need to know all the verses. But in the society that we're living in today, you need to know this verse. And today, when we have a time of invitation, you need to really ask the question, do I believe this? Well, of course I believe it, Pastor. Well, if you believe it, why do I feel like sometimes our actions and what we do or what we don't do not reflect this verse? Because everything in society is pushing on you to not accept this verse. You say, well, wait, what's the big deal, you know, about it? But Jesus said it in his own words, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. I say it all the time, but either he's a liar, a lunatic, or he told the truth. And you need to ask the question, is Jesus telling the truth here? Because, guys, I say this is the cult buster verse. Right now, you're being pushed that there are several ways to God if people believe in God. And again, if you're believing that, then is Jesus lying or is he crazy? You've got to choose. You can choose to follow a way or you can choose to follow the way. And so your action step today is follow, and I would put it in like we have it there, the way. Because Jesus is calling himself the way. And so your points are going to spell out, so maybe you'll have a short sermon today, I don't know. But your points are going to spell out the word way. And I'm not talking about curves and way. I don't know if that's spelled different, but maybe think of that. But W-A-Y. So anyway, now you think those of you are old enough to think of that rhyme or whatever. Eating or curves and way. Okay, anyway, so now let's look at what we need to look at as you go to John 14:6 is we need to look at the context of what was happening here and why Jesus said this. Okay, so they've had 3 years of ministry. Some of you have watched the Chosen series and you're seeing that takes place in Jesus calling the disciples and heading towards the cross and all those things. And you see how they start out, everybody thinking they're crazy, and then people starting to listen, and the crowds are growing, and Jesus is doing miracles, and then they get to Passover week. And Passover goes back to the Old Testament when the Israelites were leaving Egypt, and God tells them to sacrifice the lamb and put the blood above the door, forming one of the forms of the cross. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And then he tells them to continue to commemorate that every year. And why is he telling them? Because that is a symbol of the true Passover lamb. It had to be a lamb that was physically without spot or blemish to be offered for the sins of the people. Offering the lamb did not save them. God was teaching them that someday Christ would come, who was fully man and fully God, was tempted in all ways, yet did not sin, took our sin upon himself, took our punishment, died, was buried, and rose again.
Amen.
Now it's time. Jesus is heading towards the cross. He's having that Passover meal, or he's in that time period where he's going to be doing that, and he drops this big bombshell on the disciples. You got to think about it. They're going to go into Jerusalem, and they're waving the palm branches, and all the people are looking for a Savior, and all this is going on. They've got all the attention. They're thinking, we're going to take over the Roman Empire, and we're going to get them kicked out of Jerusalem and of our country. They're feeling really good. So they're at the celebration, 3 years of ministry, all this kind of stuff, and Jesus says, I'm leaving. Imagine how you would feel. Been through the good, bad, and the ugly, and now it's starting to look good, and he says, I'm leaving. But he says, don't worry about that. Don't be troubled. Because I've overcome the world. And so then you got Thomas. Thomas gets in a lot of trouble. But a lot of us are Thomas. He got that term doubting Thomas, but you know, Peter had the foot and mouth disease. Thomas was just that person that's like, tell me how or why or where you're going. And so that's what he asked Jesus here. And you know, they're like, he's leaving, where are you going? And Thomas says, we don't know the way. Or Jesus first says, you know the way. The way's right in front of him. And Thomas goes, no, we don't. Christ assures his followers he is the way. He will lead them to heaven. He will help them follow the way. Christ doesn't say he will point them in the right direction. He is the direction, and he is the one that is driving them. And Christ doesn't just give advice and direction. He takes us by the hand and leads us. My goodness, those of you who go to a bookstore anymore or go to a library or online and you try to find books on which way to go, not just like a physical direction, okay, but just in life, self-help books is what we used to call them. And so all these people giving advice, but don't you love what Jesus does? He's like, I've already been there. I'm leaving you with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be the Lord. The Lord is our rear guard. I'm going to surround you. And I'm not just going to show you a way. I am the way. You need to abide in me. And so, man, that's something we all should want. And you go to John 14:6, and this says it a little bit different, but Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. See, guys, what you're dealing with, you Christians, you're just so closed-minded, you're so narrow-minded, and how can you believe there are several ways? Then Jesus Christ is a liar if this is not true. And I don't believe he's a liar. Everybody loves Jesus, but they don't want to read what he said. They like the parables, but do you imagine all the parables that Jesus mentions? He talks about a hell that we need to shun, eternal punishment and separation from God, and these are Jesus' words. So we need to read the whole book and not part of it. And you need to sit down this week and you need to wrestle with this verse, but you don't need to wrestle with it. Because what do you do at the last part? No man comes to the Father except through me. So is there any other way to be saved? No. Christians, if we don't get this, I get it. We've got friends and family that we love. And in our mind, we're saying, there's no way they could be in hell and eternal punishment. If that's the truth, seriously, I could go trout fishing right now and catch some before the season closes. If I don't believe that. You see what I'm saying? If we don't believe that there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain, let's go home. This is serious. There is only one way to God. There is only one way out of here that's going to end up good, and that's through Jesus. Yes, we have free will, and people can say no to God. Christian, your job is to tell them and point them to the way. We will help people find the cheapest deal on something or help them with directions. Now we got Siri and all that kind of stuff or whatever. Now it's going to talk to me or whatever. But yet the most important directions we're not giving. Christ is the way to salvation. He's the way to justification. He's the way to be right with God. He's the way to be accepted by God. He's the way to have communion and fellowship with God. Christ is the way to the Father. No man comes to the Father but through Christ. And that word way means he is the highway. He is the road to God, not a way, but the way. That's why it's capitalized today. John 8:24 says this, "Therefore I told you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." I don't know if you have a physical Bible, but even in your electronic Bible, I bet you maybe those words are in red. And sometimes I have people say, "Well, I don't want to read the words in red." Well, there's a lot of other words that would be good for you that God inspired through the prophets and other people. But if you want to go there and tell me that you only read the words in red, I think maybe John 8:24 is what Jesus is saying. Again, I'm not mad at anybody here. I'm angry at how the devil is a liar and the American church has given in to these lies. And so you need to decide either Jesus is lying or is telling the truth on everything. This is Jesus saying, "Therefore I told you that you will die in your sins, for you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." And this is what happens if we do not believe that he is the way. And then there's a new way. Hebrews 10:20 says this, "He has inaugurated for us a new and living way through the curtain, and that is through his flesh." And then we go back to the sacrifice and the Passover. And I'm going off of memory, so if you got it right, that's fine. But there was a temple bell, and the high priest would only go in once a year to offer sacrifices for everyone. And I'm just giving a guesstimate here. We're going to look, but that temple bell, which is a curtain, was about this thick, or maybe even thicker, okay? And it separated the Holy of Holies from everything else. And I'm glad I wasn't the high priest, because the high priest wasn't the fact that he was perfect, but he had to make sure he had all his accounts with God. And they'd even put a rope or a chain on his leg, because if he went in there and he wasn't right with God, he could get struck down. And they aren't going in there and get him. They're going to pull him out. They're going to drag him out. So it was a very serious thing. But when Jesus, this is why I love the exactness of God. Because when Jesus died on the cross and was risen and died on the cross, it was the time that they were physically offering the Passover lamb, the high priest. And it says that the temple bell tore in two, meaning that Jesus had completed everything. And then you go to Hebrews that says we can now go boldly before the throne of grace to receive grace and mercy in our time of need because of Jesus Christ, the Passover lamb. No more curtain, no more barriers. The only barrier is the one that you put on, whether you choose Christ or not, and choose to believe that.
Amen.
The way that allows us to go boldly before the throne of grace. When we know the way to the Father. And when we know Christ, we know the Father. And when we seek Christ, we are seeking God. Christ is God. And Christ is the way for us to have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. Christ declares that he is the way because he is the way to God the Father. He is John 1:14 talks about he is full of grace and he is full of truth. Philippians 4:13 says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He is our way for relationship. He is our way for adoption. He is our way to be made right with God and be relationship. He doesn't tell us about the way. He is the way because he is God. This is another thing that cults are doing. They are doing Jesus plus, that Jesus, he was created. If Jesus was created, he was in God. And you can go to John 1 and it talks about that he has always existed. And when we see the angel of the Lord a lot of times in the Old Testament, that is talking about the physical presence of Jesus in that place. And then you go to Genesis, and God's walking with them in the garden. That's Jesus Christ. If he is God, he has always existed. If he is not God, he is created, and he can't do the things that we need to do to save us. We need to understand that these things are important. He is also our Savior. Salvation is more than praying a prayer. It's putting our trust in the person, Jesus Christ, the way. Jesus is the way for us to be reconciled with God. He's the way for us to be right with God. And Jesus is the exclusive, only way to God. John 14, 6. No man can come to the Father but through me. Jesus' words, not mine, not anybody else's. Jesus saying, you can't get to God except through me. Matthew, let's talk about how we get to God. Now we're dealing with society. They don't even, a lot may not even care about getting to God, but that question that always hits all of us, what happens when I die? A lot of answers people are trying to put out there. And again, it's not about being wrong. I don't care about being wrong or being right, but even if we were wrong on believing Jesus, my life's been way better. And I believe that he's real. Not because I chose to believe. Yes, I choose to believe in him, but I've seen him work in my life, and I've seen him guide me, and I've seen the changing power, and a lot of you have done that too. But you go to Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Let's talk about this way. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the road broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate, and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. When I read those, and again, it's been a while since I've studied that section of Scripture, and again, I'm going a little bit off of memory, but when Jesus is talking about that, he's talking about some of us would be like a stock gate or something like that, like if you're doing shots for livestock or something, you want to narrow down what that cow can do, like crushing you, stepping on your feet, whatever. And you want to get them down to a sheep to get them through something. Well, that's not necessarily what they're talking about with the sheep. But the sheep, somebody was telling me, you know, they wanted to do sheep. And I said, sheep are the most helpless thing. They're high maintenance. I'm into low maintenance stuff now in my life. It's like, you know, we went look for a shrub and trying to find a shrub. And, well, basically that thing can be out there and grandkids can beat on it. We don't have to water and they'll still survive a nuclear blast. We'll take that one. Okay. But we're talking about sheep. Sheep are helpless. How does God describe us? Sheep have to have a shepherd. How does God describe us? And so at night, you can't leave sheep out. Notice what the shepherds were doing. There was a lambing season, so they had to be out there. But also, they have to guard like David was doing. He killed a bear, and I think he killed a lion. He was defending the sheep. Well, there were places where they had kind of a corral, and they had a narrow gate. The reason for it was for thieves. Because he talks about this in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come that you have life and have it abundantly. It was to keep thieves out, but also to keep predators out. And so it wasn't an easy gate, it's just tight enough for them to get through that kind of thing and to also secure things. But when you read this, we have a choice. One of my favorite poems is by Robert Frost, and it talks about two roads merged in the woods, and he says, I've taken the one less traveled, and I've been the better for it, abbreviating it, obviously. But let's talk about the way to heaven and the broad way to destruction. The broad way is going to look easy, it's going to look nice, and guys, I'm going to be really, really careful about this. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 talks about we're saved by grace, not by works. So it's not about me going down this hard path, and I made it through, so I'm saved. What do you do with the 23rd Psalm where the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want? He takes us through the shadow of the valley of death, and we can sit down and eat a meal in the presence of our enemies through the good, bad, and ugly of life. It is Jesus. But I want you to understand, if you're following Jesus, it's not going to be an easy way. How did it go for him? And he is God. And so what that's talking about is most people say, and what we're dealing with in American Christianity, if you follow this verse, you're not going to be liked, and people are going to think you hate them, and it's going to be a rough way, because you're going to say somehow, some way, you know, I don't believe there's multiple ways to God. I believe Jesus is the only way, and you're not going to be okay. That's not going to set well with a lot of people. That's what he's talking about here. If you choose the Jesus way, it's not the easy, broad, oh, you can believe this over here and be okay to get to heaven. You can believe this over here and be okay to get to heaven. You can believe this and know you're God. Just kind of do whatever. No, there's one way. Following God, believing him, and following, but saved by grace that he is your Savior. And so that's what he's talking about. It's narrow. The one to destruction's why? Do whatever you want. 14 kind of bothers me, but I see it. How narrow is the gate, difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. Okay, let's talk about that for a minute. Few find it. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And the last words that he left us with were the Great Commission, that we're going to tell people the way to go. So what is the problem? And guys, you got to stop looking at your circumstances. And I'm not about statistics, but statistics say and prove that evangelism is one-on-one. It's one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. And notice this, whether you're picking a plumber or electrician or whatever, you don't just hopefully just Google it. Hopefully you don't just go, well, I guess I can't use the word phone book anymore, okay, because I don't even know if they're delivering those. But we'll get into that. But normally, when you're looking for somebody, you ask somebody you trust because they've proven this person true. That's about a plumber. That's about an electrician. What about eternal life or what happens when you die? I want you to understand statistics are proving true that you need to stop listening to the devil and society's telling you to keep your mouth shut. And you need to build relationships with people. And it's not about just inviting them to church, but inviting them into how you're walking with God. And I keep bringing it up, but I think it's even better that 8 out of 10 people will say yes. So the problem is not the asking, them saying no. The problem is we're not asking. The reason it's hard to find is they're not seeing Christians following God. Didn't say being perfect. And they're not hearing Christians. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. They're not hearing Christians verbally saying, this is what I believe is the way. This is why I'm sitting here in church today. Why don't you come with me and try to figure this out? Inviting them into life. This is why I believe it's hard to find, is because Christians are being silent. He is the way. It's his way. It's narrow. It's difficult. Few find it. But like the poem says, I took the road less traveled and I'm better for it. We'll be better spiritually now. We'll be better eternally for following that road. Acts 4:12 says this, there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under the heaven given to people by which we must be saved.
Amen.
Sink that in. Yeah, Jesus didn't say it, but Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit. He was one of the apostles. Guys, I love everybody here, but we need to decide every day that Christ is the only way. Because you're being pushed in for people to say, accept my way. Except, I didn't say don't love people. I didn't say don't be kind. This is kindness that leads to repentance. But there's a point where you can't be on the fence. And you have got to point them to the way. He hasn't gotten the first feeling. Let's do it, okay? Following the way means that Christ is the only way to the Father. That's your first point. Way to the Father. Jesus is the truth, the illumination. This is my handwriting. I should be able to read it, but I'll have to skip that. I can't read that. That's pretty bad. Okay. Okay. Christ is able to go over our faults and failures, and we can know the truth that he is eternally the way. He is the source of truth. He is the source of freedom. John 8:32 says you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And John 8:36 talks about that Jesus is the one that sets us free. Christ is the truth because of his character. He is true. Let's think about the character of Christ. Christ is pure. Christ is sinless. He's the ideal character, example of integrity. Well, you say, well, he was God, he was Christ, but guys, he was tempted in all ways and yet did not sin. He didn't grow into sin like we did. We have a sin nature, but he is the second Adam that had a clear choice on this, but he still could have said no. He still could have sinned. He knows what you're going through. What a better Savior and what a better character to follow and trust, to have the mind of Christ, to have the ideals of Christ, to have the life of Christ. Those who follow the truth of Christ manifest or show the truthfulness of Christ in their life. So if you follow Christ and you believe Christ is the truth, then what he says you do, and you reflect the truth of Christ in your actions and in your life. What Christ says can be trusted because he himself is the truth. Pilate was asking it. He said, Veritas, what is truth? And he's standing right in front of Christ. How ironic is that? Jesus is the truth. And Christ can be trusted because he's the truth. There's very few things we're trusting today. I find that I'm less trusting the older I get. And there's so many ways more people can take advantage of me. And it's not about even being taken advantage of, but just the fact, is this truth or not? That when we follow Christ, we need him to be our foundation, our standard for truth. He's the source of truth. He is the absolute truth. Jesus is the truth. Everything he says corresponds to reality. He's the image of light and of truth. I try to live my life up John 3:21. Those that do what is right come gladly to the light so everyone can see what they're doing is what God wants them to do. And so if I'm following Christ and Christ is the light and we live in the light, and a lot of us try to be undercover Christians, and he talks about let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Even if we try to hide our light, we're still glowing. So we might as well, like he said, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. And we need to be a city on a hill because we're in darkness here. And they need to see where the light is. And so we need to walk in the light, Christians. We need to walk in truth. We need to walk in the character of God. We need to walk in integrity. He is the truth. He is always the truth, regardless. Your next villain, following the truth, following Christ, means Christ is always true. This week, when you're maybe chewing on this, you need to ask the question, where in my actions, or in my thoughts, and in my beliefs, am I saying Christ is not true? Well, Pastor, I'd never say that. But there's a lot of things we believe, but we don't believe enough to act upon. And so, where do my beliefs and my actions line up? If you make a decision to say Jesus is always true, then that means anything you hear him say from his word is true, and that's settled. And that'll create a lot of peace in your life. People may not like it, but it's like, I'm going with Jesus. He said it, it's true. Jesus is the life. Next, that word life means water. And if we were on a survival thing, or some of you watch alone, you know, that kind of thing, I don't think I could do that one. It's not about being alone, but that's a pretty rough show and what some of the people are dealing with. But you know, you got these basic food, water, shelter kind of thing. And so what he's talking about, we said the word here talking about water. I mean, you can only go so many days without water and then you're going to shut down there. He's talking about that word means that it's real, that it's genuine, that life that with Christ is devoted to God. It's a blessed life. Christ gives us this life. And John 10:10 says, if the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life, and if we stop there, wouldn't it be Jesus' life, and give it to you abundantly? I think this gets a bad definition sometimes in American Christianity, because we believe that what's being sold is abundant life, is name it, claim it, and it all has to do with your bank account or your possessions. Well, how's that going for everybody? Because, you know, it doesn't go that well all the time. And we've got a lot of Christians and brothers and sisters that are suffering and have nothing. And then you go to the New Testament, and you see the same thing. So that abundant life is saying this. It's beyond what I have or what I don't have, relationship, possession-wise, any-wise. And it's the abundant life that I have in relationship with Jesus Christ and with God the Father. And so he gives us abundant life. He gives us eternal life, that he is the way to life with God. John 1:4 says this, in him was life, and that light was the light of men. So he's the source of life. And then John 3:15 says this, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. That means some of you are just out. No, everyone who believes in him. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is why the path, very few find it, because we've got to go out and tell them where they can find life. And we need to be a part of that. So everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. I told you the demons believe, but that doesn't do any good. There's a lot of people that believe that Jesus exists and that he's a good man, but they're saying he's created, or they're saying he is a way to God, not the way, and that is not going to cut it. It's Jesus plus nothing. That he lived, that he died, that he rose, and from the dead, to give us eternal life, that we admit that we can't save ourselves on the best day, and we cry out to God, save me, and we accept him into our lives, and we begin to follow him as Lord. That's believing in Jesus. The way to life through faith in life and the life of Christ, because he is who he says he is. John 11:25 says this. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live." And that was him talking to one of the sisters when Lazarus had died. And we need to understand that that life is not just talking about our physical life. It's talking about our eternal life, our soul. Your last fill-in, following the way of Christ is your only way to life. Are you picking up a pattern here? He's the way of the Father. He's always true, and he's your only way to life. What kind of life are you living today? Are you surviving? Because I think a lot of people at some level are just surviving. Man, this world is crazy. Everybody leave me alone. I'm going to just stay in my lane. And guys, what do we do with the Great Commission? When God tells us everything that's going on in this crazy world is saying, get a bunker or get the fruit cellar and convert it. Not that I've thought about it, but we do have a fruit cellar, okay? But anyway, and there's nothing wrong with being wise and aware that everything, what was going on to Christians in the New Testament, they were being persecuted, they were being scattered, and notice this, it was growing. We need to be safe, guys. He didn't say, go and pause. He said, go. If the way is narrow and few find it, it's all on us, guys. I mean, obviously it's God, but he gave us one thing to do. Luke 13:24 says this, make every effort to enter through the narrow gate, because I tell you, many will try to enter and won't be able. Some of you today may not have known Christ. You may believe in the things of Christ, but you haven't chosen him as the way to save yourself. There's going to be a time of invitation here in a moment. Come forward or talk to me afterwards. Choose the way. Because now you can't say you haven't heard. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And if you wait to do it then, it's too late. And so I encourage you to do that. But I encourage for the rest of us, go back to the previous verse. Why are the people that you encounter every day, are you pointing them towards the way? Or are you keeping silent? And if you're keeping silent, it's not about the pastor making you feel bad. Shame on you. Because the last words God gave us was to go tell. And so we need to go tell that Great Commission. So the question today, do you know the way to the Father? Do you trust the way that Jesus is always true? And are you trusting the way as your own, at Christ as your only way to life? As we stand to our feet, I think the invitation today is more like this, that you need to examine your life as a Christian this week and ask God. If you go to Psalms and talks about search me, and if there's any wicked way in me, show me those things. I think you need to look at today, where have I lost ground and maybe pointed somewhere, somebody off of the way? Because if there was two people rowing in a boat, only one has to be off to never get to the destination. And so maybe you need to pray here or whatever, but asking the question, am I pointing people to the way of Christ or just to something? Am I keeping silent when I should speak? Am I following the way Jesus Christ fully? Lord, however we need to be obedient to you, may we do today. In your name, Jesus. Amen.